You know, the last time that Karen and I went to Springfield, Illinois, we stopped at the Lincoln Tomb. You've probably been there, many of you anyway. Pull into Oak Ridge Cemetery, and you can't miss it. It's enormous, this tomb. It's got steps and levels, and at the center of it, there's this granite obelisk. It looks kind of like the Washington Monument. And look up, because it's way over 100 feet tall. Then you duck inside into the cool darkness, and eventually you reach the crypt, which has stained glass and flags, and there Lincoln's body lies. Not until recently did I realize how many places they have put Abraham Lincoln's body. 11, to be exact. Yeah, when his funeral train chugged into Springfield from Washington, D.C., that was in 1865, May 3rd, his body lay in the Illinois State Capitol for one night. Then, the next day after the funeral, it was put in a receiving vault. I don't know what a receiving vault is, but I assume, you know, a temporary one, at Oak Ridge. And then 6 months later, they moved it to some other vault while they built this huge tomb to honor the president, late president. And then 6 years after that, when the tomb was halfway done, they put Lincoln's body in a crypt inside of that. And then 3 years later, when they finally got this enormous memorial put up and finished, they moved his body to a burial room inside. That, by the way, if you are counting, is location number 5. In 1876, two criminals from Chicago, of course, Chicago, tried to steal Lincoln's body and hold it for ransom, which actually is kind of ingenious. But it didn't work. And so to protect the body, they moved it to a different part of the memorial. And I'm not making this up. Put it under wood and debris. And then they reburied it in the ground of the tomb itself, number 7, until after Mary Lincoln died, when both bodies, his and hers, were reburied in a brick vault underneath the floor of the burial room. Then in 1899, the tomb needed to be rebuilt. So poor Abe's body was moved to a subterranean vault nearby, number 9, and then it was moved back 2 years later once they got the restoration done, number 10. And then a few months after that, the president's son, Robert, asked that his dad's body be secured, and so it was moved to a concrete vault 10 feet below the surface of the burial room. Get that. To honor a body, you need a tomb. And to keep a body from being stolen, you need a tomb. Well, friends, we're here tonight because Jesus doesn't need one. Yeah. Amen. He borrowed one for a couple days. They carried him in, but he came walking right back out. He doesn't need it. In survey after survey, Abraham Lincoln is considered by scholars to be our greatest president. But as great as Lincoln was, his body, or I assume now what's left of it, is in location number 11, a concrete vault. And Jesus, he's still alive. He's still alive. He's more alive than ever because he will never die again. He's immortal, which is what you and I are going to be if we trust in Christ. Now, so here's our options. If you want to hear Lincoln speak today, you got to go listen to sit through the audio animatronics thing at the Hall of Presidents in Disney World, right? But Jesus is alive, so he's still speaking. He speaks to people through the scriptures, centrally. And he speaks by the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks through creation. He speaks through your conscience. He speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances you cannot deny. Sometimes he speaks through your dreams. I wonder what the living Lord Jesus Christ may be saying to you tonight. Some of you, you've lost a loved one this year, and the grief sometimes overwhelms. Others of you, maybe it was several years back, but your loss came at Easter, and so each year it kind of hits you like a rogue wave, right about this time. But now that Jesus is alive, your grief is not the last word. Jesus said to a woman crying in a cemetery, unable to see clearly through her tears, and he spoke one word to her, Mary, her name. Jesus knows your name. Others of you, moments like this just kick up kind of a doubt. Can this all really be true? I guess most Christians, you know, wonder that from time to time. I like the college grad who asked me to meet with him, and he told me that he had grown up with faith. He wasn't actually against it, but his close friend had been in a terrible car wreck. And now he just had trouble. He didn't know if he could still believe. But Jesus is alive, and he does not leave us in our doubt. He says to you and to me, like he said to his first followers, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise up in your mind? Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Could it be that for some of you, you don't need to have the answer, every answer to every question? You never will anyway. Maybe you need to take the radical step of doing what Jesus said, and he said, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Tonight, are you worried about something? What's getting you up at night? What's making your mind run and your stomach flip over? When the risen Jesus speaks to his followers, have you noticed he almost always starts and says, peace be with you. Peace, shalom. Once I was suffering from panic attacks, and the meds were not controlling it. And so I had to take off work to try to get my life back in control, which was frightening and embarrassing to me. And the risen Jesus spoke to me during that time. I was walking down an alley, and there were fences for many of the yards, backyards, that backed up to the alley. And over this one tall wooden fence, which was just, you know, a barrier, this flower on a vine had grown up and over and out and was now down right about my eye level. It was a yellow blossom. It was quite full and beautiful. And I went over to see it closer, and Jesus said to me, I'm going to make you like that. And I knew what he meant. He meant, you do not have to fear that you're not going to get better. You do not have to fear the fear. Jesus comes to us and he speaks with authority as the risen Lord and says, peace, peace be with you. Are you weighed down by something you've done? You wish it were like Groundhog Day where you could go back and redo that thing? Because it was sinful, it was dumb, and now you feel ashamed. You know, on the cross, he absorbed your sin and your shame. He took it onto his shoulders. It went with him into the tomb, and it got left and buried there. And when he walked out in glory, he left it behind. Jesus, the risen Lord, says, now there's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. There is forgiveness. Maybe you're feeling your age or your health is not so good. And so for you, the reality of dying is not just a theoretical construct. It feels near. The risen Lord Jesus says, since I live, you also will live. You're going to live. This is why, as A.W. Tozer says, only a Christian can afford to die. Maybe you're facing a challenge, and you're not sure you've got it in you, this one. Maybe it's one more mountain, Maybe it's something and you're feeling your inadequacy, or you're not sure if you've got it. Listen, our inadequacy is never the last word. Receive the Holy Spirit is. Jesus fills us with his power. Oh, friends, tonight, Abraham Lincoln stares silent as stone from the side of Rushmore. But the risen Lord Jesus stands with his arms open wide to you and to me, and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Follow me. Some of you have been following him for 70 years. Keep following. Some of you have kind of hit a hard time, midlife, whatever, and you're not sure if you can keep on going. It seems safer to leave church and the challenges of faith, a life of faith. Jesus says, I'm alive. Follow me. Some of you, you've never actually taken the step. You've been around Christians. You're not opposed to it. But you've never said to the Lord, my life is yours. You can do it tonight. All friends, Jesus is alive. He doesn't need a tomb. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.